Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our special presentation on the Newport Music Festival, the concert series that's going on right now, just a little while left to the festival, which started on July 8th, and it's going to run through the 24th. So we have another week of activities, which we're going to talk about tonight. And WCRI is very pleased to be one of the sponsors of the Newport Music Festival. I'm Mike Mano, and I'm here tonight with the chief, the head honcho, the one, the incredible, the president of the Newport Music Festival. And Virginia is here. She has graced us with her presence to come in and talk about the festival and a little bit of her experience. And Virginia Gambale, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mike. I am so excited to be here to speak about one of my great passions in life, which is music.
Music and the festival in particular, I guess. And let's get a little bit of information about you. Are you a Rhode Island resident? Do you live in another part of the country? Where are you from?
Well, we actually reside in both Connecticut and Rhode Island.
Well, that's perfect. We have a lot of listeners in Connecticut and obviously a lot in Rhode Island. So you're very welcome then. Yeah, that's great news. What part of Connecticut?
We live in Westport, Connecticut.
Okay. And is that where you grew up in that area?
No, I grew up in New York, originally in Long Island, and then headed to New York City and spent most of my adult life in New York City until my husband dragged me away to Connecticut.
I hate that when that happens. I know how that works. So, and when did you find yourself inspired by music? Was this right from the very beginning? You had family involvement, or how did that happen to you?
Well, actually, no family involvement, although I can recall my dad listening to opera many, many Sunday afternoons. But I first found that the music on the Roadrunner cartoons, particularly Rossini, was something I thought, this doesn't sound like any music that I've ever heard before. Hmm. What is this? And that was my first inspiration. And then I once saw a piano in a room and went down stairs to sit and play the piano. And I found that that instrument to me was calling.
All right. So piano was your love from a very early age.
Always. Yes.
Always. Mm-hmm. Okay. And did you go to school for music or did you go to be trained in something, some other area?
Well, actually, I started very late with my piano studies. I started asking when I was six to my parents, please, please, can I study the piano? But they knew nothing about music and didn't know if it was important to start early or not. Mm-hmm. So for years, I had the local piano teacher that taught me really nothing. It wasn't until I reached junior high where I had a music teacher who said, wow, you have talent. You really need to study with a great teacher.
Okay.
And there I went. I studied with a gentleman named Morton Estrin, who loaded me up with Bach and Mozart and Beethoven, and I devoured it instantaneously.
And then that led to college?
Yes. I really wanted to continue studying piano. Of course, the parents are always saying, how are you going to make a living as a musician? I said, I don't know, but I'll figure it out. Just give me a chance. And I ended up at the Hart School of Music in Connecticut. It was a conservatory environment, but on a sort of general university campus. Though it was known for opera, not necessarily piano, the two faculty members that ran the piano department, Raymond Hansen and Anne Koschelny, were outstanding pianists. And I remember my first day that I was dropped off at the dorm, and I was in my room with tears. The parents had left, and I thought, did I make the right decision, and am I in the right place? And all of a sudden, I heard down the hall this unbelievable booming voice. And I ran outside. I thought it was a recording. Mm-hmm. And there was this one buxom, red-haired, bright-eyed beautiful girl in her blue overalls blinking at me. And I said, "Was that you?" And she said, "Yes." And her name was Ruth Ann Swenson. Okay. And it was that point that I realized I was definitely in the right place.
Okay, something that you were aspiring to. Not necessarily the voice, but the kind of music, right?
And the caliber of individual.
Caliber of talent that was there.
Yes.
Well, you've brought along a CD with you, I think, with a recording of her. So why don't we talk a little bit more about her and which recording you want to play of hers?
Well, I actually, you know, ended up following Ruth Ann's career when she was in New York at the Met, and loved her Italian opera. But I have a CD today which is called Endless Pleasure, and she's actually singing Mozart. And so you can get the sense that this woman with an incredibly booming voice is also capable of singing Mozart with such clarity and delicacy and the ability to bring forth the essence of what Mozart wanted. So we have an aria from one of her Mozart's lesser known operas, Lucia Lucilla, and it's one that I think it's short, but you'll enjoy. Thank you.
Virginia, you were correct. What a dynamic voice and wonderful, wonderful talent. Just a word about the festival, not to confuse anyone. She is not going to be at the music festival in the next week or so, but this is someone that influenced Virginia and her music education, and one of the reasons she got involved in that. As far as the festival is concerned, I mentioned that it's going to run through the 24th, so we have another week of activities, and a lot of activities indeed. So if you want information about what's playing when, Virginia and I will discuss it in the last segment, but right now, if you want to go to newportmusic.org, you can get all the information about the festival, how to get tickets, and what's going on, and so forth and so on. That's newportmusic.org. Okay, back to you, Virginia. And this next recording you brought also was an influence in your life, correct?
Yes, and in fact, if I was to describe my favorite musical collection, it would not be the entire works of Horowitz or the entire works of Ruth Ann Swenson.
Right.
However, I look at music, and having been a performer, I understand how incredibly difficult and challenging, but also invigorating and exciting it is to take a piece of music and interpret it. And the technique that is used to create a performance which is unique and your own. And so every time I hear a performer, there's usually a piece of repertoire that I feel they have brought to another level of incredible performance. And so my collection of outstanding recordings would be the piece that each musician, I feel, has brought something special and unique to this world. And so when my love for opera began later in life, more in college, I also realized that often opera singers will cross the line and move more into mainstream culture and often sing repertoire from that area. And so some are successful and some are not successful.
Right. Sometimes they try to do a Broadway hit and they should not have tried that.
Yes. Or they try to sing it in an operatic fashion, which doesn't work.
Right.
And Renee Fleming, who is a wonderful opera singer, her performance of Amazing Grace, which she sang at the 9/11 memorial, I feel epitomizes that ability of an artist to move from their comfortable genre and to take their powerful voice and apply it so appropriately to a piece that is very near and dear to my heart. In fact, I often would include it as a lullaby to my children when they were young, and I would sing it myself. Of course, not in any way like Renee Fleming.
Well, in your own mind.
But her performance of Amazing Grace, I think, makes us all pause, stop, and think for a moment. And I hope that you feel the same way.
We will listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more of the Newport Music Festival.
Thank you. was blind.
Welcome back to our special presentation of the Newport Music Festival. I'm Mike Mano, and we are talking about some of the wonderful events that are going to be happening at the festival. The president of the entire Newport Festival is here. Virginia, you're relatively new in that position, right? How long have you been acting as president? A year or so? Or
no, even less. I would say 6 months.
6 months, okay. So you're just getting your feet wet. But you've been involved with the festival for a long time. And going back to Mark Malkovich, Sr., many years ago, and who we miss dearly, but is always loved, and his son is carrying on the tradition and doing a great job, phenomenal job, and WCRI is very happy to be a part of that. The festival is continuing. We're in the middle of it, 1 week left to go, and I'm going to ask you for some of the highlights of some of the things you might want to talk about coming up yet to be.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I'd actually like to preface that by saying one of the things that I have found so wonderful is that in my neighborhood in Newport, Rhode Island, we had many people who were not going to the festival or had gone and stopped going, where we had newcomers who arrived and were not necessarily classical music lovers. And we started inviting them to the gala and to concerts, and an incredible thing has happened. they are now engaged tremendously. They are buying tickets. They are attending the gala. Some of them are joining the board. They have all said, oh my goodness, where has this music been all my life?
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of that is really due to two things. One is not having the fear of lack of knowledge and education about classical music, but to just go and experience, and someone taking you by the hand and having you attend. And once they have that experience, particularly in this venue with all these most spectacular mansions and gardens, et cetera, these venues are brought alive by this music. And in the world that we live in today, which is far too much with us, mm-hmm. the ability to spend some contemplative moments in an incredible setting with the most talented musicians in every way is so provocative and so inviting. So as I talk about this second half of the festival, there's a little bit of something for everyone, which I love. And, you know, Mark Malkovich has done a phenomenal job in his programming because he has something for the most serious and astute classical musician. And he has something for those who want to hear classical music but don't know too much. And then those that like to sort of venture slightly out on the periphery of classical
music.
Push
the envelope a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're looking at, we have, you know, categorically, we have Brahms and the German Romantic composers and Beethoven and Schubert and von Weber. And there are incredible concerts during the day and the evening where you have a spectrum of chamber music and some soloists. Then we have some special, really, really exciting new concerts. So, for example, we have a French violinist named Diego Tosi. He is going to be performing at 41 North at 10 p.m. That is a brand new venue for us, and 41 North is very excited about it, and we are as well. So that will bring a whole set of attendees that perhaps may not have attended the festival before. Then we have Richard Glaser, who's an amazing pianist and expert in the music of Gershwin. And he's actually performing twice during the festival. He's a three-time award winner for PBS specials in this area of American pop music. We also have some concerts at the Redwood Library that are in the afternoon and early evening, which is such a lovely, intimate setting. We have the Latitude 41 Trio, which was a Newport-inspired trio.
Mm-hmm.
We have, and they're performing kind of interesting pieces.
Because Newport is on Latitude 41. There you go.
And they are performing an interesting trio, which I have not heard in a long time, which is the Shostakovich Trio. And I think that will be very exciting. And then toward the end and closing our season, we have a performer named Jeff Beagle. Coincidentally, Mark had found Jeff last year to perform at the festival, and he was a huge success. People loved him. And I realized that that was the Jeff Beagle that was studying with my piano teacher when I was 12, and he was a couple of years older than me. And he was a true child prodigy. And I used to look at him playing Liszt, and I was in awe of how someone could play the piano with such not only technical ability, but his fiery and passionate musical ability was incredible. And so I was not there to see him last year, but I will definitely be there this year to see him. He will be performing Saturday at 4 p.m. in a solo recital, and then he will be closing the festival playing a Dagnani piano quartet and also cello and jazz bowling piano piece. So I think that's going to be, again, an exciting closing to the festival, and again, a little bit of everything for everyone.
Everybody gets a little taste of something, and it's great. And the venues are unbelievable everywhere, from, of course, the Breakers, which is a long-standing tradition of housing the festival, and Blythewald and the Chinese Tea House, the Elms, the National Museum of Illustration. St. Joseph's Church is a special concert, so there's lots of different places. Check it all out at newportmusic.org, and you can get all the listings of how to do it and where to go. We have another piece of music to go to right now that's part of your history, if you will. Not necessarily part of the festival, but something that you appreciate. Tell us about that.
Yes, the Prokofiev Third Piano Sonata is a sonata that is not played that often, and it is a sonata in one single movement. I was actually given this piece to play, and I thought, oh my goodness, this is really, really difficult. I'm going to play this. But I dove into it, and it is a piece that I found to be one of my favorite pieces, A, to play, and B, to listen to. I heard one recording of a pianist in Argentina performing it, and all the other recordings I heard just left me less than inspired. One day, I heard a pianist who performs at the festival fairly often, Frederick Chu, performing the third piano sonata. Coincidentally, I found out last year when I was holding a soiree at our Connecticut home that he lives around the corner from us, and I invited him to play for an audience of 45, 50 people, and as a special treat, he played me the Prokofiev Third Sonata. And I'd love to share that with you.
We will listen to it and then take a short break and be back with more.
Thank you.
Back to our special presentation of a show on the Newport Music Festival. And Virginia, we've covered quite a bit of territory, listened to a lot of music that was important in your life. Now we're going to have a chance to get to the festival directly, and someone that has had an impact on the festival and been here several times. And you have some interesting stories about him too. So let's what was your first discovery of him? How long ago was that?
About 5 years ago, he came to the festival to perform all the works of Chopin. Not all the major works, but all the works of Chopin.
All the works of Chopin. Okay, that's not something that happens in 10 minutes.
And being a Chopin lover, I said to my husband, you know, I'm just going to go hear this pianist. I had not heard of him before. And I sat and I was in complete disbelief. I was transported beyond where I was at that moment in time, and I truly felt as if I was listening to Chopin incarnate. And everyone in the audience felt the same way. And in fact, during that period, you'd go to Stop and Shop, and everybody was talking about the dashingly handsome man that actually looked like Liszt, who was performing Chopin, and the women in the Stop and Shop were just talking about how incredible and how they couldn't wait to get to the next concert. And all his concerts were sold out. So when time came 2 years ago, we always hosted a musician at our home for the last, I don't know, 7 or 8 years. And we asked Mark who was coming, and when he told us that Gheorghe Bogányi was coming, we said, I'll take him.
It was a tough decision on your part, right?
Oh, yes. So difficult. And he arrived at 1 o'clock in the morning. I remember falling asleep on the couch waiting for him to arrive. And he was not only an incredible pianist, but a wonderful human being. I mean, intensely brilliant, a master chess player. In the period of time he was with us 2 years ago, he enveloped my children with love and stimulating chess games and conversation beyond belief. We could talk about a range of everything, politics, music, technique.
And where is he from?
He is from Budapest, Hungary.
Okay.
And he performed 2 years ago a variety of Chopin and Liszt. And one day we were sitting out in the backyard by the pool and we were talking about music, and he told me that he had a secret. I had no idea what the secret was. And he told me that he was reinventing the piano, inventing the next generation piano. that in all his years of travel, he was so frustrated that the piano of all instruments has never evolved beyond its original form, that frustrated from going from place to place, that every instrument is so affected by its physical environment.
Right, temperature and all kinds of things.
And felt that we, given modern technology and craftsmanship that exists today, that he could create the next generation piano, change the form factor, and create an instrument that was largely impervious to its surroundings. And that he was working on this for several years, assembling an incredible team of scientists from Hungary and Germany and other places in the world. And I was so fascinated by this. He had a prototype, but not yet an actual instrument. We stayed in touch over the last year or two. I know he shared that secret with Mark Malkovich as well. And Mark and I spoke in the fall, and we said, wouldn't it be wonderful if the piano was ready to debut it in Newport in 2016? So here we are. The Bogagni piano arrived last week, and we did not have a place to put it into the breakers automatically because he was performing there at a Saturday night concert. So the piano ended up in my garage, and the entire Bogagni team, family at our house. But it was the most incredible experience. It is even more beautiful in person than it is in its photos. The sound is incredible. The clarity, the master craftsmanship. It has a carbon fiber sounding board. It has a different type of material that is used inside. There are composites. There's still the original strings that are used. And it has an incredible sound. It presents some challenge to carry it from place to place because...
Well, it's large, I would
It's
presume.
Large. Yeah. It only has two legs, not three.
Two legs.
It rests on two.
So it's very intelligent.
Front legs, yes.
It's a two-legged creature.
Yes, it has evolved. But it, we actually had the debut this past Saturday at the Breakers, and we did not put the instrument on the stage. We put it on the ground floor at the Breakers. Mm-hmm. Which was such an amazing experience because people were able to walk around the piano and see it, and also, from a concert perspective, have a much more intimate experience with the instrument and the musician.
Right. Well, that's all good news. The bad news is that if you're listening now to the show, you missed it.
Yes.
But that's a reason to go to the festival. You never know what's going to happen. And you've brought along a recording of his. That you want to play a piece of that?
Yes, we were lucky enough to inspire Gergay to make a complete set of his Chopin recordings, which we now have on sale at the festival.
Oh, great.
I call them the package of gold because they are amazing.
Now, is this a two CD set or three?
Oh, there's about 12 or 13 CDs.
Okay. And so you can buy it as a package?
Yes. It is only sold as a package.
Sold as a package. All right. And that proceeds help the festival and help him, I'm presuming.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Great.
They do.
All right. Well, I think before we get to that piece of music that we need to get to, I want to thank you for coming in today because you've given us a whole lot of information about the festival and some of your background and what brought you to music. And that's a great thing. I don't know if there's any other little tidbits you want to leave with our audience before we say goodbye and listen to that last piece of music. If not, we'll get right to it.
Yes, I would just like to say that if you have attended the festival in the past, bring a friend. Because it is a wonderful experience to share with your friends, and particularly those that you may not even think would enjoy such a concert. And you might inspire them and change their life.
Music can always change someone's life. Virginia, thanks so much for coming in today. It was a pleasure to meet you.
And my pleasure.
Look forward to doing this again with you. And what is the title of this last piece that we're going to go out with?
Oh, this is a very famous nocturne that people, I think, who have listened to Chopin will know. It is called the D-flat major nocturne. It is a beautifully seductive piece of music and incredibly difficult to play well.
Thank you once again. All right, here we go.